This episode is brought to you by BundleRabbit.com, Earth's most accessible book bundling marketplace. Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer, author of 24 books, 34 short stories, and countless articles and scripts and essays, and I am your guide on this quest to raise your output to pulp speed levels and to explore the cracks and crevices of business and craft in the writing life. Welcome to The Questions, episode 341. Today, JR asks, what are your thoughts on the rise of the audiobooks? Where is the return on investment for the expense? I've heard some authors make most of their income this way, i.e. Paul Cooley, while others hardly make anything from it, i.e. Terry Mixon. Given the expense of creating the audiobook, what are your thoughts on this? Is it better to make your ebook and paperback sell well enough that a more established audiobook company comes to you? Or should you contract somebody straight out of the gate? Basically, would love to hear your thoughts on audiobooks for authors who can't self-produce them. Well, a lot of the best way to do this depends on your long-term business plan. And when you're starting out as an author, I know that's a bit difficult to settle on. If you're paying out of pocket, you're paying a lot. If you were to hire me, for example, and I haven't read your books, so I don't know if I would accept it because it really is massive psychic torture to, to do an audiobook that you don't enjoy. I've done a few of those. These are things you learn the hard way. If you were to hire me to do it, it would cost you a few thousand dollars. I don't come cheap. I get $350 to $450 per finished hour, depending on the project and a lot of things associated with it. And that will come out over a 120,000-word book to about $3,500 to $4,500. And if you're selling a book here, a book there, it's going to take a long time to earn your money back. That's it. Now, if you've got the money and you're investing for the long term and what you're planning on is a career that is going to last you decades, then that investment out of the gate is a good one, because as long as you keep your career going, it will earn itself back eventually, both directly in sales and indirectly in terms of the algorithm bump you get, because if all three formats are available, you get preferential listing in the Amazon store. And that's not a trivial thing. It's not something worth blowing your wad on by itself, but it's a nice extra help thing. The other thing you can do if you can't afford to produce your own right out of the gate but want them available is to plan to produce your own after 7 years and to go exclusive through ACX on a royalty split plan, or to go through Findaway Voices in a royalty split plan or something like that. That way you're not out of pocket and you accept a diminution of the back end for a set amount of time, and then at the end of that 7-year contract you can then drop out and go create a new one yourself or reach a second agreement with the producer if they are inclined to being bought out or something like that. If you're not sure what you want your long term to be, hold off on doing them. Nothing wrong with that. Hold off on doing them and do them when you can afford them. If you're writing 4 books a year and you want to do audiobooks but you can't afford a lot, maybe plan to do 1 audiobook a year and try to pick the audiobooks to do that are the ones that you think are likely to sell well. If you're doing a series, do the whole series. Do not do 1 audiobook out of a series and then let it sit up there. It's going to backfire on you. But if you're doing standalone books, you can go kind of a la carte. I personally learned to produce my own because I love audio and because I wanted to be able to have all my own up. I'm being very slow in getting mine up because I've got a big backlog of books, and I'm also producing books for other people in order to save enough money to buy some land where I can build a house. That's an important personal goal for me, and so there is a certain amount of short-term interest trumping long-term interest for me on that front at the moment. Another thing it's possible to do is to produce your own without reading your own. If your spouse is a good reader, or if a friend is a good reader, or if you have a fan who is a reader, a very good one, you can pay someone in trade or in cash or in kind to read the book while you direct it and edit it and do the post-production. And since the the workload in doing an audiobook is all on the post-production, you're talking about 20 to 30% of the time goes into reading the book and the rest goes into post-producing the book, regardless of how good the reader and the editor are. Because the better the reader is, the shorter time you spend in post-production, but it's still multiples of the amount of time you spend in the booth. You can get good readings at a cut rate by doing all your own production and only paying the talent for the reading. So that may be a middle way that's open to you. But those are really the only options on the table that I've ever seen, other than hanging around and waiting for an audiobook company to approach you and license the rights from you. Which is a viable way to go, but you do have to be fairly successful to attract that kind of attention. And you can attract that kind of attention whether or not you already have a book up, as long as you control the rights and they can tell that the rights are available for licensure without having to dig too deeply. And there's ways to present yourself publicly to do that, including having a page on your website that says subsidiary licensing. And you can say on there, you know, if you're interested in purchasing subsidiary rights to my books and would like to know what is available, use the contact form below. And just by saying that, you imply that there are rights available despite what they may see out in the market. So that's another way to do it. And there's a lot of little companies like mine that do that as well, not just the big boys. And if a little company comes to you and do that, you know, make a deal that makes business sense to you. Don't give them a massive cut rate just because they're a smaller company. Expect that they're going to pay something up front, even if it's a smaller upfront. And if it's a small upfront, don't do an outright sale. Do a deal where you get royalties off it, and I would advise that anyway, even if they pay a good amount upfront. But if you do that, make sure it's someone with whom you can trust their accounting, or you've got ways to verify that their accounting is accurate. And that you take care of with how you construct the contract and all the other legal stuff around it. Not a long answer, but those are your basic options. I love having audio available. It's essential for my long-term strategy. I'm intending to be in this until I die. And so I'm the kind of person for whom it makes sense to put in the effort or drop the cash if I've got the cash or whatnot as I can in order to build my catalog, because each audiobook is another piece of intellectual property that's out there earning for me. Even if it's at a low rate over a long term, the low rate does add up. Compound interest is a fantastic thing. And I would always look at your publication expenses and your audiobook production and distribution expenses and similar things through two lenses. First is immediate cash flow. You don't want to bankrupt yourself getting products on the market. But the second is return on investment over a period of time. Select what period of time makes sense for you, whether it's, you know, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. Figure your likely return on investment over a period of time using an analogy to your current rate of ebook sales. You'll sell 10 to 50 ebooks for every one audiobook you sell, typically. And figure what your return on the investment will be over the course of 10, 20, 30 years. If you've got a long time horizon like that and you plan your business that way, that will make sense. If you're looking at, am I going to make my money back this year, next year? Well, unless you're selling very well, you're not going to, and that's not going to be worth your time. So figure out the time frame for your return on investment before figuring your other things, and then that will tell you whether the cash outlay is worth it and or how much cash outlay it might be worth, so that you can decide which course to set. I hope that helps, and I'll see you tomorrow. The Everyday Novelist is written and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions. Visit our website at everydaynovelist.com and leave a tip in the tip jar or join the Patreon to support this podcast. The Everyday Novelist is copyright 2017 J. Daniel Sawyer and Artistic Whispers Productions, Inc. and is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License.